The head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, will join us here at Gillette Stadium at 9:20, and we will see if he agrees with Devon Godchow, who said yesterday that it looks like there are guys who are not playing with pride out there on that defense. But right now, Boomer Esiason, who is brought to you this week by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services. You can find them at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, fun times continue at Gillette Stadium. Are you guys still there this morning?
We are, and it's raining. But there is a little bit of a light on the horizon, at least we think there is. What did you see from Drake May in his NFL debut as a starter yesterday?
Well, you know, he was nervous. I saw some good things. Obviously, you could see that he can move. He's got a hell of an arm. It's going to take him a while to get used to it. But, you know, quite frankly, playing him in the sixth week of the NFL season, I think, was smart. I know that you guys were clamoring for him earlier, but they were trying to win games in a way that was going to keep games from getting out of hand like yesterday did. So yesterday gets out of hand because you have four sacks. One leads to a fumble. You have, three interceptions, I think. You had all sorts of penalties. And all of those things happen, you know, when a rookie quarterback takes over, especially when he's nervous. I mean, it was different. It looked like they had a chance. It was exciting because it was a young quarterback that was drafted number three overall. But at the end of the day, the four turnovers, the nine penalties, the drop passes, you know, puts the defense really on the field way too much and puts them in bad field positions. So,
well, they were also playing a really good football game.
No, I know, right? I know.
They could have. I mean, I maybe the result would have been different. We could argue it forever. But if he had played last week against the Dolphins, I mean.
Yeah, I would just say it was much better in terms of just the actual, I don't know, I would say excitement. I saw somebody write mayhem. and maybe that's what it was, a little bit of mayhem. Yeah. And it was a little bit of everything mixed in there. But I would think that if you are a Patriots fan and you watched this yesterday, you probably felt pretty good about your young quarterback, that maybe you probably hit on this kid, but it's way too early to tell. But at the end of the day, it's a highlighting of just where the Patriots are in their roster building. I know they have injuries. I know they have offensive line problems. I know they have wide receiver problems. But quite frankly, I believe it's Elliott Wolf, right? I believe he has his work cut out for him. This is probably the most barren roster in the NFL at the moment. Them and Carolina. And
well,
maybe the Raiders.
Boomer, part of that is because of his inability to get guys this offseason. But my question is, and what I think a lot of us Patriots fans took away from yesterday, is you saw his growth just in that game from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, of how he looked more comfortable and how he went in the right direction and wasn't making maybe the same mistakes early in the game that he was in the later part of the game. So it gives us some like a kind of silver light at the end of the tunnel there.
Yeah, I mean, well, good luck. That tunnel's going to be really long.
I mean, silver light. You don't often see the silver light.
Well, the silver lining and the light.
You got the lining and the light.
Look, we all made that mistake. Yeah. I mean, it is really early when we do this. and I can understand, like, you guys feel like you've been hit over the head with the idiot stick over the last 6 weeks. But the tunnel is going to be long, Wiggs. And the reason I say that is just because of the support system around him is just not, it's just not that good. I mean, maybe some of these young wide receivers will come along simply because he'll make some extra plays with his legs. He'll get out of the pocket. He'll get away from a rush, and he'll find some kids. Now, this is what it's all about. Right now, from this point until the end of the season, it's about evaluating the young talent, looking at what they have, and then most likely deciding, if I were them, they're probably going to have the number one overall pick, either them or the Raiders or Carolina. And, you know, they're not going to want a quarterback, so they could be able to manufacture something out of this draft with a trade when we get there, because there will be three or four quarterbacks that are going to be coveted in the top five. So you got to believe they're going to have a top five pick. You got to believe that somehow they got to manufacture that into a bevy of young players and draft picks, because they have to rebuild this roster. I mean, especially the offensive line. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It is a turnstile. They have injuries. There are guys playing out of position, most likely, or shouldn't even be playing. And they got a rookie quarterback behind them who's dealing with that. So there's going to be a lot of this. There's going to be a lot of turnovers. There's going to be a lot of sacks. There are going to be a lot of misreads. There's going to be a lot of miscommunication. But it's going to be fun to watch it, because he's an athlete and he can make plays.
Boomer, mentally, what's it like as a starting quarterback after your first start in the NFL? What's Drake going through right now this morning, going to bed last night? What's something that he can take with him, or something that he just needs to leave in the past, in this past game?
I think you're asking me to go back 40 years
yes,
and think about
I am.
This.
But I know you have a good memory.
I do. I think we beat the Houston Oilers 13-3. And what I do remember my rookie year, I started four games and had no clue to what the hell I was doing. I would get up behind the line of scrimmage, Courtney, and I would look out there and I go, are there 15 freaking guys out there? I mean, that's how sometimes confused you can be. And if you remember, Sam Darnold, when he was with the Jets, he made a comment that I saw ghosts out there, meaning that sometimes you're not really sure what you're looking at, and sometimes you think that there are more players on the field for the opponent than there really are. But I would imagine that Drake didn't get much sleep last night. I think he feels like he wants to play better, and he will play better eventually when they get better around him. He'll be a little bit more comfortable. I think Jermaine said it. He said he got better as the game went on, looked a little bit more comfortable as the game got on. And hopefully that's going to carry over in the next few weeks. Now, they play a Jacksonville team in London next week that just looks completely lost. I don't know how they can. I guess they could beat Jacksonville. Anybody can. It looks like there's a lack of will for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but Jacksonville has a better roster, a significantly better roster. So if they're going to get a win, this would be the week where maybe Drake May shines and maybe they can somehow come away with a victory.
Well, that Jacksonville team, you have a player like Andre Sisco saying basically they all quit in the second half. Is that a bigger issue when it comes to their head coach? And
it is on their coach, man. And I like Doug Peterson. I thought he was going to be great for Trevor Lawrence, and I thought he was going to bring the best out in him. But when you hear players talking like that, they're basically, that's code for we don't respect the head coach. And that's really sad. They could be saying the same thing in Las Vegas this morning, too. I mean, you saw the push. I don't know if you saw any of this game. They were pushing and shoving on the sideline. Max Crosby, I think it looked like he was pushing either, I don't know, I couldn't tell if it was the trainer or the defensive line coach away from him for some reason. I'm not really sure why, but when you're losing and things are ugly and players realize that you don't have a chance and you don't believe in your coach, these are the kinds of comments that come out of the locker room. I will say, for as long as Bill Belichick was the coach of the Patriots, they've never, ever said anything like that. And I hope that these players don't say anything in regards to that when it comes to their locker room, because that would be a poor reflection on Gerard Mayo, who I do believe that they like. I do believe that they respect him. I said that early on, and hopefully it doesn't come down to comments like that.
We call the pushing the coach the Rodgers.
Yes, push him right out of town.
Around the NFL these days.
Just quickly on one more on Drake May, Boomer. That one thing I feel like we know is that he is not the dink Mac Jones was. Like I felt like he was a guy that, at least in one game, who the hell knows, but he appeared unflappable. Not that he didn't take a sack or make some bad throws. It just was this, even the post-game podium performance felt like a guy with the aw shucks more than I know everything and I'm better than you.
Yeah, there's a humble nature about him, without question. And, you know, I guess C.J. Stroud was talking a little bit about Drake May, because I guess they have some sort of relationship that they've had, and they played with each other. And, you know, or Drake May was going to go Ohio State when C.J. was there, so they know each other. And CJ was very complimentary at Drake after the game, and, you know, that's always a good sign. I mean, this is just going to be a long rest of the season. Hopefully there's going to be growth and he doesn't get hurt. Hopefully, you know, he'll be able to get himself out of problems, but I do, I agree. I believe that he threw the ball down the field, and we like to say with purpose, meaning that, you know, this is the kind of kid he is. He's going to be aggressive, and everybody loves an aggressive quarterback as long as he's accurate and doesn't throw the ball to the other team. And I think that that is something that, you can take that out of yesterday's game.
Boomer, both Williams and Daniels look really good. Is it possible for the first time maybe ever both the one and the two pick end up being superstars in this league?
They could be. I mean, they all three of these guys could be, really. I mean, I do know that Caleb Williams has probably the best team around him. And I do know that Jaden Daniels has really good wide receivers, and he, of course, has got Terry McLaurin. They run the ball effectively. You know, they played Baltimore tough yesterday. I didn't expect them to win. That's a tough place for a rookie quarterback to go into, no matter how well he is playing. The biggest thing that rookies have to stay away from, and it showed itself yesterday with Drake May, and that is the turnovers. He had three of them himself, and that's usually what leads to big numbers for the opposing team. And 41 points is a lot in an NFL game. And Houston scored, I think, three out of the four quarters, and they had 24 points in the second half. And a lot of that is due to the turnovers and stuff. So that they were trying to stay away from that with Jacoby Brissett. He was limited in what he can do. But if this is going to be the mayhem that I read about, it's going to be fun watching it. I just hope that he makes it through the rest of the season.
Boomer, when you look at the league, it looks like there's a lot of parity now. The teams that we had high expectations for, teams like the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, don't kind of look like they're the same football team, similar with the Jets. What do you think the difference has been this year in the NFL, especially with some of these teams that we had high expectations for, and some of these other teams we've seen come out of nowhere, like the Minnesota Vikings?
I think it's injuries. You know, I do think that Baltimore and Detroit, San Francisco, and Kansas City, you know, are the four best teams. And I guess you could throw Houston in there. I guess you could say they're the one of the top teams. But it's really going to come down to November and January. Who gets hot that last 6 weeks? How healthy are they? I know every time that Kansas City steps on the field, their defense is going to keep it close, and then Patrick Mahomes wins the fourth quarter, much like Tom Brady used to do up in New England. So there are good teams that are getting players back. Like the Bengals last night, for instance, didn't have their best game, but they won, and they got a lot of their defensive guys back that had been hurt, especially along the defensive line. Now, they played a very, you know, questionable Giants team. I guess you could say that they're playing hard for Brian Daboll, but they just can't play very good on offense. But when you look at what happened with the Bengals, you know, they got some of their key players back, and they won a game, and they didn't have to score 40 points to do it. So that was a good sign for the Bengals, and I think they'll be back in the mix. But I think it's injuries, but I do think we do have our top-tier teams, and there are five of those teams that are in that tier that I think will be there in the playoffs, you know, come February, you know, January and February.
We touched briefly on the Jets situation. Do you think at the end of the season Aaron Rodgers is marching himself in and asking that they get Bill Belichick?
No. I actually think they're going to play better now. Nathaniel Hackett was way in over his head. He was way in over his head as a head coach out in Denver. Russell Wilson couldn't stand it. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett. He's a great human being, supposedly. I'd rather have a jackass who's a great football coach coaching my team if I were owning the team. And I think that Rob Saul wanted to make a move with the offensive coordinator. And I think Woody Johnson got wind of that. And you got to remember, Woody was the ambassador of Great Britain for 4 years. He was over there last week. They lose a game to Minnesota. Prior to that was the loss to the Broncos. Things started building here. You could see the frustration on the sidelines. So I actually believe Woody Johnson made the absolute right call. I don't like coaches getting fired in the middle of the season. My friend Frank Wright went through it twice. It's hard on the family. It's hard on their reputation. But if you're trying to save a season and you think you have a great roster and that roster is not performing, you have to shake things up. And I think Woody did it early enough in this season where Todd Downing, now the offensive coordinator, is going to shore things up. It's not going to be the Aaron Rodgers show out there. Do whatever you want. Do it whenever you want to do it. And expect to have the same success you had when you were in Green Bay. I think there's going to be a little bit more of a game plan. They're going to be able to respond to different things that defenses have been doing to them, like blitzing and having an answer for those things, which I can't believe that they don't have for a 40-year-old quarterback. So hopefully this thing is going to kickstart the Jets. And I can't believe it, but they're playing for first place tonight against the Bills.
One last one. Jerry Jones flying his helicopter into the middle of practice loses some of its luster to me when he keeps Mike McCarthy employed in a walk year and doesn't bring in a guy like Bill Belichick to make that roster and the team perform at a higher level.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on down there, and I can't believe that a coach would go into a season as a lame duck head coach. At least give me another year. And I think Mike McCarthy was trying to do everything he can to hold on to that job. And yesterday was good old Jerry's 82nd birthday, and they got walloped. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that 75% of the NFL fans out there enjoyed that very much, because everybody seems to hate the Cowboys except for the Cowboy fan.
Right. Question of the week for you, Boomer, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. You brought up London. Roger Goodell there this week said an overseas Super Bowl is a possibility soon. Are you a fan?
That would suck. So I guess I'm not a fan. I mean, I don't mind the international
9:30 a.m. Super Bowl.
I love it.
I do not mind, you know, the fact that they have these international games, and I like a Sunday where you start at 9:30 in the morning. You got football all the way through, and I kind of like that. But I don't even want to think about taking the National Football League out of the United States of America for its Super Bowl. I want the championship always to be here. I want our cities to benefit from it. I want, whether it be New Orleans, Arizona, L.A., Houston. I want those cities to have the Super Bowl, because they're the ones, and the taxpayers are the ones, and the fans are the ones that are underwriting this entire freaking league. If people have forgotten that, and I do not, in my lifetime, I do not want to see a Super Bowl overseas.
All right, very definitive, and I appreciate it as always.
Before you go, can I just ask, Mets or Yankees?
I think the Yankees are going to make the World Series. I'm not worried about that, but I think the Mets really struggled last night. But the good thing about baseball is they get to come back today at 4:00 and do it all over again. If they lose two in L.A., I think they're going to be finished, but this Mets team has shown a real resilience over the last 6.5 to 8 weeks. So keep my fingers crossed that they'll win today.
Boomer, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Look forward to it, guys. See ya.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Good stuff from Boomer there, as always. Trending now brought to you by the 99. Tonight, we'll see the Bills and the Jets in Monday Night Football, 8:15 kickoff. Ken reminded me we will have the game right here on EEI. Coverage starts at 7:30. The Patriots fall to the Texans 41-21. It was May Day. Drake completed 20 of 33 passes for 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions in this one, and Jerod Mayo not happy with his defense. Here's what he had to say after the loss.
Defensively, I would say just the fundamentals of just tackling and our run fits have to improve. They have to improve. And I told all those guys, I said, you should feel like crap today. You should feel like crap. You take away those 2 long runs. We had 2 runs over 50 yards. I mean, that's just not winning football.
The Bruins get another win at home over the weekend, an overtime win on Saturday over the Kings. They have the matinee matchup with the Panthers today, 1 p.m. puck drop. And we have our NLCS and ALCS matchups. NLCS has the Dodgers up 1 on the Mets, and over in the AL, the Guardians kick off the series against the Yankees in the Bronx tonight at 7:38. And you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. 4 hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. Like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin, you gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. I have good news for you, Greg.
Yeah?
Are you looking to do any fun fall activities this weekend?
Yes.
Fun activities?
Well, I have an oyster bash to go to on the Cape on Saturday.
What's an oyster bash?
Oyster bash. Oysters.
What is that?
Just like is that the lobster trap in Bourne? Benefit. Uh-huh. Actually, I think we have tickets to give away for that, Sean.
We sure do, Greg.
All right, we'll give those away at 8:45. But what were you going to
recommend? What day is that this weekend?
Saturday.
Oh, perfect. perfect 70 degrees. I don't know how to call a hot fall because I don't want to be canceled, but it's going to be warm.
It is going to be. It's a great event. It's outdoors. It benefits the Greg Hill Foundation this year. Oysters, drinks, great food, crab cakes, all the food that Wiggy hates, all the shellfish things.
Crab cakes and football.
Saturday. That's Maryland. That's what Maryland does.
My man.
Also, we've gone a couple hours here, and you've yet to mention, you know, I'm a big skygazer.
You sure are.
Isn't there a comet that is going to be viewable by the naked eye this evening?
Yeah, right around 7:35 tonight. If you look to the south-southwest of your sky, you're going to see a comet that has an 18-million-mile-long tail.
Wow.
18-million-mile-long tail.
Wow. Excellent.
That's what my due diligence told me.
Oh,
does
excellent.
The comet have a name?
Yeah, Uranus.
All right.
All right, Curtis, great job on
Thank
the
you.
We are going to get to the news with Courtney next. On a Mayo Monday, Gerard Mayo will be with us in 1 hour at 9:20 this morning here at Gillette. It is a Mayo Monday on a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and Gerard Mayo will join us in just a little under an hour at 9:20 this morning. We were just talking about the Oyster Bash, and so I thought I would give away a pair of VIP tickets for Saturday at the Lobster Trap in Bourne. Great live music, great a wide variety of oysters. Wiggy, I know you're not interested.
Nah, my wife loves them though.
You ought to come down and bring. I know you don't like the Cape. You don't really like to go south.
No, I go
to
the Cape.
Okay. Great food, great drinks, all that stuff to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation. If you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, then you will get a couple of VIP tickets, and we will see you there on Saturday, and then maybe we'll go for some great bar pizza at the Trading Post down the street afterwards.
Cool.
And make it a double whammy.
There's a pizza place in Onset that's even better. I'll think of the name in a moment. But for you, pre or post oysters, one of the best walks in Massachusetts, right by the Bourne Bridge. You park, you can walk all the way to the Sagamore, or you can go half and back. It's right on the Cape Cod Canal. It is gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't know if you listen to the show or not. I'm in run mode. I mean, we have a Jingle All the Way 5K in less than 2 months.
True.
I'm running. I'm not walking anymore,
right,
Curtis.
Okay,
I can
run it half the time.
Speaking of running, how did Julia do yesterday in Chicago?
Oh, she killed it. My daughter, Julia Hill. 4 hours and 8 minutes.
Wow.
Not the adjective I would use in Chicago.
pretty impressive.
13 minutes better than her Boston time.
Oh,
wow.
Awesome.
So she did great. Loved it. Loved that. I guess that's a flatter course and a different, different course than Boston. So absolutely loved it. And obviously, as I think we talked about last week, got her most of her athletic genes from her old man.
Yeah, right.
All right. Call now. Win those VIP tickets for Oyster Bash, and we'll give those away all week. Tomorrow on this show, Ty Law will join us around 9 o'clock or so. Right now, though, time for this.
It's time for...
Before Trump got out of office, I only had to put $10 in my truck, go back and forth to work.
The news.
And then prices on beer goes up. And hey, that's the working man's Gatorade right there.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
As it should be, too.
Of course.
Especially at this... in this economy.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
What does the economy have to do with increased security at the Olympics, if you really want me to ask?
It heightens emotions.
On WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood out?
Well, we're going to start with Donald Trump, because local cops in California arrested an armed man, 49-year-old Vem Miller, outside of a Trump rally in California on Saturday. The local sheriff has doubled down on claims that it was a third assassination attempt that they were able to prevent. Miller was caught at a police checkpoint, allegedly trying to enter the rally with a phony press pass. Then cops noticed his car was unregistered, so they searched the vehicle and they discovered a cache of fake passports, driver's license, a shotgun, a loaded handgun, and a high-capacity magazine. What's confusing here is, with all of that, he was able to walk after posting a $5,000 bail.
Huh.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, are there name some things that people are arrested for currently? Is it like murder?
Bike lane occupation.
Okay, is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think if he's a threat to a, yeah. to the...
You wouldn't think you'd let him right out.
Right.
Again.
No. Yeah.
No, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
And I thought, like, I don't know, I follow the news sort of briefly every day, but isn't the threat to democracy, isn't that like the talking point of every mainstream media show in America?
Yes.
That, you know, that we have threats to January 6th, threats to democracy. What's a bigger threat to democracy than killing someone running for president?
No, that's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Attempting to assassinate, say, a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just so wild to me. Like, the thing that's crazy is because I saw this story, and this guy's like a right-wing nut, according to many of his postings. So, like, God knows who he is or why he was there.
Yeah.
But the lack of information, I've even forgotten his name.
Miller. Oh,
the guy that tried to kill Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Like, we should know everything about this person.
Yeah.
Like, they came within a centimeter of changing the world history in a way that would have been shocking.
Yeah.
That the guy that they blew his noggin off on the roof.
Yeah. Like, who he was, where he got the gun, or the guy that was in Florida that had destroyed the serial number on his AK-47. Yeah. It's so weird to me that these people just... disappear.
Well, they got him, so that's good news.
Yeah, and just if you're looking for a movie right now that involves Donald Trump, I saw The Apprentice over the weekend. Santo and I went on Saturday night. Not enough trailers about this movie. I found out about it on Friday. There was not a big lead up to it coming out. Sebastian Stan plays Donald Trump, and it plays him in the 70s and 80s.
Would you recommend?
10 out of 10.
Really?
Sebastian Stan deserves an Oscar for his portrayal of Trump.
It like his life story?
It's really about his relationship with Roy Cohn. And what was cool is it's called The Apprentice, and obviously the TV show. But you leave the movie and saying, wait, so the reason it's called The Apprentice is because Donald Trump was really the apprentice to Roy Cohn.
Right.
He learned everything that he became from Roy Cohn. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know the Roy Cohn backstory. Yeah. If you are somebody who loves Trump, you'll find issues with this movie. If you are somebody who hates Trump, you'll find issues with this movie. I thought it was really well done.
Can I have a brief critique of Courtney and her movie grades?
Mm. Yeah.
I feel like you're either 10 out of 10 or 0 out of 10.
Yeah. No in between for me.
Yeah.
I'm also easily entertained.
I'm an
only child. I had to learn how to entertain myself.
Yes.
I think you would really like it, actually. Yeah. Hanson town officials brought in a floodlight to reduce visibility of a Trump campaign sign that was being reflected on a water tower from a nearby backyard here in Massachusetts. Hanson town administrator Lisa Green released a statement saying this misleads the public into believing that this activity is sanctioned by or condoned by the town.
This is the most ridiculous thing. So somebody figured out how to flash this Trump sign up onto a giant water tower. Nobody thinks the town is endorsing it. So they're going to spend $1 million or whatever it is to block the light out with their own light.
Correct.
So that nobody can see it.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
If you are watching on Twitch, Mitch has the photo of the water tower. We can hear from a nearby neighbor, Mike Smith, on WCBB.
I don't see why this should be an issue. It's not like it's a permanent thing. I mean, it's a projection of light. I mean, there's a lot of other issues to be concerned with. What worrying about, patrolling to make sure there's not a projection on the tank? I mean, that's foolish. It's not money well spent at all.
Well, that's what they're focusing on.
Is he doing it from? He's doing it from his own yard,
backyard.
Who knows? It could be. Maybe it's coming from space. I have no. I would have gone like D's nuts as opposed to like the political ad.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right. Good.
Okay. Unbelievable.
A woman says she was kicked off a Delta flight here in Boston after telling the flight attendants she had a shellfish allergy. Ellie Brellis was flying from Boston to L.A. when she told the flight attendants about her EpiPens. She says that Delta has a record of her allergy because it is so serious that Delta keeps records for stuff like that. So she always tells the flight attendants when she gets on, hey, here are where my EpiPens are if something were to happen. She said then a Delta medical rep boarded the flight and eventually removed her, leaving her luggage on board. Here's Ellie speaking to BZ.
We brought another flight attendant into it, and all of a sudden it just kind of became this really big commotion where they said they were concerned because they were cooking shellfish in first class and that they couldn't not serve it. I would love to know if it's something that I did that I could do differently in the future to ensure that this doesn't happen.
Well, no.
So were they protecting her?
Yes, the menu in first class was shellfish.
All right.
What does she expect them to change the whole entire menu for her?
Well, if you've ever been on a flight where there's a serious allergy, like I've been on a flight where they said if you brought on any type of product that has peanut butter in it, we have a severe peanut allergy, so please do not open it. And so in this case, if it's that big of an allergy that Delta has a record of it, so you know one of your passengers boarding this particular flight has a shellfish allergy, then I kind of agree with her that maybe
they shouldn't serve
Shellfish?
Yeah.
Why not sit the back of the plane?
I think they were worried about any type of cross contamination.
Don't let her book the flight, I guess. Like,
or
just put a notice out there. I mean, I do not want the people in first class to go without their shellfish.
Thank you.
You're paying a premium.
You sure are.
You got to be able to enjoy your lobster.
Does she know the menu?
What?
Like, do they know? Could she have checked the menu going into the flight?
Well, I don't think she could have.
She couldn't. Like, they don't tell you what the menu is.
Oh, so she couldn't have been like, let me get on another flight serving
you. My biggest takeaway is it is a huge TSA red flag to leave someone's luggage on a plane.
Yeah.
Like, that is rule number one. If you're not on the plane, your luggage isn't on it.
Huh. Yeah. Well, all right. 7-Eleven fans are going to be a little bit worried about this because they're closing over 400 locations across the U.S.
Oh.
Yeah, the chain's Japan-based parent company revealed in an earnings report back on Thursday that 444 locations of 7-Elevens are shutting down because of a variety of issues. That includes slowing sales, declining traffic, inflationary pressures, and a decrease in cigarette purchases.
Huh. Hmm. Well, what about Slurpees? I mean, are people not buying Slurpees?
I think they're getting them at the gas stations now.
I mean, this is honestly, this is a casualty of remote work.
Yeah.
I mean, the convenience stores, you know, are people going to and fro. Everyone by me is right near a train or a bus stop or whatever. I mean,
Also, it could show a change in the way that people are not smoking cigarettes. If they're going to make that such a big point of this, that a decrease in cigarette purchases.
Yeah, but most convenience stores now have booze anyway.
Yeah.
7-Eleven, though?
Yeah. I think 7-Eleven sells beer, but
people still buy vapes.
I think it's more of the gas stations than everything. Like the way that the new gas stations have become where you can get your cigarettes from there. You can get everything from there. So people that do drive, who's really like stopping on the side of the street and running into a 7-Eleven?
That's been like the business model of 7-Eleven.
But do you understand why?
Big gulp.
Curtis nailed it. It's people aren't going to work anymore.
But do you understand why 7-Eleven
gas stations have been selling?
No, they haven't.
Wiggy.
We're getting into an argument you don't know nothing about.
You know more about convenience, the business model of the convenience store than I do?
Yeah, because I grew up around a ton of store 24s at 7-Eleven.
So did I.
And what happened is...
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Burp
these things into
the
ether. Gas stations have been selling convenience store items for decades.
No. Gas stations nowadays they have taken over the 7-Eleven kind of industry.
Oftentimes,
I don't want to delve into your area, but oftentimes it's a 7-Eleven in the gas station.
Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The gas station
but 7-Eleven is telling you become... the model is not working.
Greg, I'm trying to tell you the reason why is because of now you have your Sheetz, you have your...
Seasons.
There's all these...
Wawa.
Wawa, there's all these...
Wawa's been around for 40 years.
The model now, gas stations were just gas stations and that's
they
it.
Really weren't.
And maybe
they
a pack of cigarettes. Nowadays, you got like some of these new mobiles and all these gas stations. They're like basically...
They put Dunkin's in them.
I have a fun, very relatable story. Dover, we had a mobile... Inside the mobile, we had everything you could need and a Blockbuster.
Wow.
You could rent Blockbuster videos from the Dover mobile.
That's where it all started.
It really was. There's only one traffic light.
Wiggy will tell you about it. The decline of the convenience store industry.
I'm telling you.
Began with the gas
stations. Go to Twitch. Somebody on Twitch will back me up on it.
That's not helping your
case. No, it is.
Okay.
This is a crazy story. Sheriff Owen, a sheriff in Georgia, called deputies for help after his Burger King got his order wrong.
Oh.
So he wanted his boys to come back him up. The staff was so outraged by this, they locked the doors when the backup showed up. And this is all coming to light now because there are two guys who are running against Owen for sheriff, and they posted the body cam footage. Okay. And we can hear from one of those guys, Mike Dingler, speaking.
That's a great name.
It's probably not how you pronounce it. It's so hard. Dottenlinger?
Dottenlinger?
Like
nope, not Dollinger.
No, I said Dondellinger.
That could be it. That could be it. Good job, Scheim.
Thanks. I like Courtney's.
Yeah, thank you.
I like Don Dillinger.
He's speaking about the incident.
Do me a favor. All I need is the owner name or whoever owned this other manager. Well, I just need to find out who owned this place so I can do a physical complaint. I want to order her a Whopper with no mayo cut in half.
I think it is an abuse of power. Deputies run lights and siren, placing citizens at risk and his deputies at risk just so that he could get information from a business owner that clearly could have been followed upon on another day.
Huh. Yeah, no, you're probably not supposed to turn the lights and the sirens on and call for backup if your Whopper doesn't have ketchup on it. That's probably not the way to do it.
Nope.
All right. We got to take a break. We will get to the rest of the news next, and Gerard Mayo will join us on a Patriots Monday at Gillette Stadium coming up at 9:20. It is a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and Gerard Mayo coming up in about a half an hour at 9:20, and we will get his further thoughts on Drake May yesterday and the struggles that the defense had and the penalties, which keep racking up, 9 of them yesterday over 100 yards, 12 of them the week before. So a lot to talk to Gerard Mayo about when he joins us at 9:20 this morning. Yes, Curtis.
One quick note that we haven't mentioned. I thought it was not a great timing of the reaction. The first quote in game, they go to the field. I'm sorry, Melanie Collins, I think, is the sideline reporter. And she noted that Robert Kraft had publicly stated that if the reports were accurate, Jabril Peppers would not be on the team.
Yeah.
Why wait until telling the CBS broadcast crew that? Why aren't you on the day after?
It had come out before.
Yeah,
the
it
game.
Had up and out.
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought that
but
was
it wasn't,
odd.
It wasn't right after.
We had Gerard Mayo here.
No, it might have been
Saturday.
A couple days
Saturday
afterwards.
Or something like that.
You had a week or two in between. To me, if you're saying that we'll wait to see what the facts say, you could say that literally at any time.
Yeah.
It just go back to Amazon Thursday night. Gerard Mayo was the coach 5 years ago. It's like, just don't worry about what people think about you. Put a good team on the field, and everything else is fine.
Yeah.
You literally had two decades where you had the biggest scandals in sports, and you were very profitable because the team was really good.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the rest of the news, if it's good, Courtney.
Let's head to a place that we know well in Springfield. The Basketball Hall of Fame has added Jack Nicholson, Spike Lee, and Billy Crystal to their super fan gallery. This is new.
Okay.
According to the organization, the honor is given to those who have made a, quote, profound impact on the game through their loyalty, passion, and dedication.
Oh, okay.
You could enter.
Oh yeah.
One day.
I don't really like Billy Crystal bothers me. I don't find him funny at all. Was he like a huge?
I think he's a huge Knicks fan.
Knicks fan or something.
Yeah, I think he's a huge Knicks fan.
If you're gonna go super fan, it's really Spike Lee is the Knicks super fan.
Right. Yeah. That Jack.
Jack Billy Nicholson.
Billy Crystal's actually taller than Kostos, which is interesting.
Because they were at like every game, like even regular season games, like they're just there. I mean, I don't know if Billy Crystal was, but at least, you know, you've seen Jack Nicholson and you've seen Spike Lee at just a regular game. So,
yeah.
I mean.
Best Billy Crystal movie in my book, City Slickers.
Yeah, I've just never been a fan.
Analyze
he
this.
He drives me crazy. I know people love him. I just never did anything for me. I thought he was annoying.
Okay.
But just me.
Elon Musk is saying that the Optimist bots that we talked about last week, and if you're watching on Twitch, you can see some video footage of, could be available for home living by the end of 2025.
Really?
Yeah. The robots had some interactions with real humans, having conversations back and forth with them. And Scheim, I believe Jackson got some audio of a conversation with an Optimus bot.
Optimist. It's insane. It's even talking.
Say hi to my friend Josh.
Josh? Where's Josh?
Right here.
Oh, hello, John.
How are you?
How are you doing?
That's crazy. I'm talking to a robot. From San Jose. Probably from where you were born in Silicon Valley.
Wonderful.
What's the hardest thing about being a robot?
Trying to learn how to be as human as you guys are. And that's something I try harder to do every day, and I hope that you will help us become that.
Well, awesome. Nice to meet you, Optimus.
You as well.
Oh, hate it. I like hate, this. hate, double hate.
So they're going to be, like, Elon Musk said when he debuted them last week that they're going to be somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000.
Okay.
For your home.
All right.
So do you want one?
Yeah. I mean, think about it, it's, you basically have, if you trust them with your kids, which that's a different story, an in-home butler. You have an in-home homemaker.
Yeah.
You're sitting on the couch.
If you're watching on Twitch, you see that guy making a drink.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume sex. But it takes a little while to make the drink.
It does. But if you're at the crib and you're like, okay. Hey, Optimus, go get me a soda out the refrigerator because you don't feel like getting up and, maybe.
So you like this because it's going to make America lazier.
Oh, it's going to make America so lazy. But isn't that what we want?
I hate it. They look so human. Their mannerisms, throwing up the peace sign, the way that their arms move, even the voice was so human.
You mean it scares you?
I watched Smart House growing up, and that was the original Robot Uprising. So for me, this is going to end terribly. Terribly. A robot's going to kill someone that bought it.
They're saying that it will be of great value to those who are lonely.
Yeah.
And don't have a friend.
Right.
Okay.
Greg, you live in the seaport. You want some ice cream? Send Optimus to go get it for you.
Yeah. Well, he already has that. He has a concierge.
No, I go get the ice cream. I go nearly every day down to Van Leeuwen to get ice cream. I need to stop that. But I get the exercise in when I'm going to get it.
Right.
Which justifies it.
Berries make you do.
And the small is so small there.
I don't know what do the positives outweigh the negatives?
Nope.
Yep. How many times have you been out with us? So if Courtney's been out with us and you guys, I got to go back to the apartment to walk the dog.
You can have Optimus.
Optimus can do that. Like, Optimus can do so many things for you.
I don't mean this as an insult to Ken, but we could have a robot PD. They put the schedule together.
That's an insult to Ken.
Yeah. I said I didn't mean it as one.
I know, but yeah.
I wouldn't trust Optimus to walk Harry. You wouldn't, just like you said, you wouldn't trust Optimus with your kids.
No, I said you might get to that point if you feel comfortable, but you'll let your kids stay with a nanny.
Yeah. Well, a nanny's human.
Yeah, but
has a resume.
But at least Optimus doesn't have the psychotic,
right,
crazy thoughts that a nanny has.
I think that it could.
Do you remember the British nanny Woodward that may have killed the baby? She was found innocent, but is there any evidence of a robot killing anyone?
No.
Not yet.
Right. So, I mean, I feel like the robots are here to basically do as we need them to do. So you might be, at least you don't have to worry about the robots snapping on you.
I think robots are already here.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Great point, Pump Rock 16 and Twitch. Wiggy Pre-City, never get into a driverless car. Wiggy Post-City, can't wait to do it.
I can't wait to do it. No, and I wouldn't.
Yeah, you're a different beast.
But you know why? Because I drove everywhere. But now when you live in the city, I get in Ubers. So you know how many cars I get in with Uber drivers that can't drive? Mm-hmm. So what the hell's the difference of getting into a car without a driver? At least it might be driving better than a human that doesn't know how to drive.
Very scary.
City changes you, babe.
Would you call it the Optimus force of the armed Optimus force of robots?
Yeah.
Available soon in your home?
20 to 30K.
We need to change the name.
Do you want to allow the enemy through the door? What is it, Chime?
We need to change the name. It sounds too much like Optimus Prime from Transformers. We need to change the name.
I think that's what Elon wants.
And no, I don't like that.
Optimus Prime was a good thing.
Be unique.
Think about the police.
I mean, what did you think of the design of the driverless cab that he introduced?
It's pretty cool.
Oh, I'd hop in.
Yeah, the van was cool.
Yeah.
You know, you got like somebody in a burning house. Now you could send Optimus to go in there rather than a human.
Ooh.
or, you know, police in a standoff, you can send the Optimus unit to go in there rather than regular police officers.
Okay, so for those listening who are firefighters, Wiggy wants to eliminate your job.
No, no, I say eliminate the job and situations that you might not come home from.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are the firefighters going to do? Get cats out of trees if they're not rescuing people?
Oh, there's other things they can do.
That's what they do. Mm.
They could put out the fires.
I don't know. I'm afraid of it. I've been afraid of the. I've been ahead of the game.
Yeah.
When it comes to warning about the.